coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagman Report. It's Thursday, January 18th, 2024. I want to welcome you aboard. And whether you're listening to this, my good friends in New Zealand, Australia. And by the way, I got your email. My good friend in New Zealand, as well as Rome. Karen, how are you? My little sister out there. And everyone all across Canada and throughout the United States, welcome to today's show. All right, with me, I've got two very special guests, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and Jamie Walden, the author of Omega Dynamics. Oh, my gosh. Did I just have a flashback to meeting with Jamie in, I think it was Branson. I'm almost certain it was. But anyway, just a tremendous young man. A man I'm honored to know. And then again, Jamie Walden. And if you're unfamiliar with Jamie, go to omegadynamics.org. Now, the link will be in the program description box at hagmanpi.com for this show. And this show is also brought to you by Prep 777. Prep 777. Now, it's on your screen right there. And I've got to tell you, I'm a fan of their bug-out bags. I'm going to lift this up, and I'll show you what this bug-out bag looks like. There it is right here. And there's a lot of stuff in this bag. And most importantly is this. This is a Faraday. Hang on. I'm okay. This is a Faraday bag. And you've all seen these, but you get a few of these. And of course, if you want to go dark, you take one of these nasty things. I intentionally lose mine for days on end. So if I don't text you back, call you back, well, it's because I don't like cell phones. So, but here's the thing. You put it in the bag and you're dark. Okay. Faraday bag. As well as these things, these little dastardly devices, because people, and Jamie's got stories, I've got stories. These bad people out there can spoof the frequency, if you will, using other devices similar to this, spoof or grab your signal off of this and steal your car or steal your stuff or kill you or whatever. So put these little things in here. That way that won't happen to you. Okay. Insert A into B. Those are the instructions.
Reminds me of health class.
I was going to say, speaking of that, if you haven't seen some of the social media posts about, from these trannies, and I remember, I'm old enough to remember when we talked about trannies, you're talking about transmission and vehicles. But, hey, anyway, yeah, you got to tell them how, where to put the parts. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure Steve and Jamie don't appreciate my humor. All right, with that, I'm going to bring Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, prep777.com on, and he can bring Jamie on, and we'll just have a good show today. Go ahead. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Jamie. Well, first of all, today's topic is probably the quintessential foundational understanding of prophecy that has been hidden. It has been covered up, covered over, and basically, I'll say it, hijacked by the devil himself. It's called America is Babylon, no longer a mystery. And Jamie and I were talking the other day, and we were talking about sex crimes against young children and everything that is going on. But if you miss the foundation, you can't understand the superstructure of evil that's being erected upon it and off of it. So I asked Jamie to come on because he and I share this, I would say, obvious foundational principle of the Word of God, that America is Babylon. It's not a rebuilt Iraq, as all those guys with their crazy, who have been wrong, spreadsheets spread out on their TV screens are saying, yes, Iraq is going to be built back. You know, it's going to be more glorious than, you know, Nebuchadnezzar's day. No, it's not. But there's three Babylons. There's commercial Babylon, there's spiritual Babylon, and there's historic Babylon. Isn't that interesting? So, Jamie, I think that we need to tell people where this whole narrative was basically hijacked by Evangelifish and basically designed to keep America's decline, control, and evil manipulation out of the eyes of Christians who go about life, the majority, not even caring about it. So, Jamie, thanks for coming on. Go ahead and share. And when you need a break, give it back. If you don't need a break, we're going for 90 minutes. So go ahead, sir.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Steve and Doug. It's always a pleasure. When we get to do shows together, we usually cover quite a bit of ground. And this aspect of Mystery Babylon is beyond prescient at this moment in time. It's paramount, crucial for the listeners to know and understand, because like you were alluding to, Steve, there is this radical hijacking of the narrative by the seeker-friendly ilk, evangelical, NAR, dominionist, preterist, amillennialist, pick another IST, suffix on the end of a word to describe the Western-centric churchianity that's going on here. And so it's actually very particular, the nuances of prophetic fulfillment that are contained within the greater narrative, even of our understanding, our willingness to be able to receive the reality that the United States of America in particular, North America in general, is indeed Mystery Babylon unequivocally. There has been such a significant delusion that has been put onto the spirit of the Western-centric church. I'm not talking about our radiant brothers and sisters in Nigeria and Iran and China and the underground church in North Korea and all the Horn of Africa and these other places. Like, I've lived the majority of my adult life around the world. I've traveled around the world. I've operated in semi-permissive and non-permissive environments over and over and over again. I've operated in all kinds of different levels, different spheres, different professional capacities, and as a Christian on the front lines of different aspects of our corporate reality, and I can testify to the radiancy of the church everywhere else. But when it comes to the United States of America, there is a unique blindness that goes beyond comprehension. And what most people don't realize is it's not a blindness based out from ignorance, right? We got to make that distinction. People think that the reason why the American church, American Christians, you know, Steve having to beat the drum for 30 plus years and Doug doing what he does and all these other guys like warning, the watchman on the wall is warning, and yet it goes nowhere, is because we assume that it's an ignorance issue. And what most people don't understand, it has nothing to do with ignorance. It has to do with delusions. And a delusional person is completely different than a person who's operating out from ignorance. And the other aspect to know and understand about that is we're not dealing with delusion because the powers of darkness are getting one over on us. That is such a red herring argument that the hyper emotionally predatory Christians want to use all the time. The devil made me do it language. It's delusions because God has sent them. So a lot of times where even people are trying to war against what God has already put on a person, because as it says in 2 Peter, is that they deliberately forget, or as 1 Peter, they deliberately forget. It's a willful, deliberate choice of the carnality of the flesh for love of the world and the things of the world, that the same God who judged the earth with a deluge is coming again to judge it with fire. It is a deliberate, willful choice, just like we say all the time, 2 Thessalonians 2, because they love not the truth, God sends them a strong delusion, because they took pleasure in unrighteousness. It's not that they don't know the truth, they just don't love it. Same thing with Romans 1. Knowing God, they neither glorify him nor give him thanks, but they come darkened by the hardening of the hearts, right? So then God gives them over. It's not that they don't know God. They just, knowing God, they won't give him thanks or glorify him. So it's the same thing with the reality of the American churchianity paradigm, with the prophetic fulfillment of that. They will give heed to the seducing doctrines of demons. The way of truth will come into disrepute. They will not tolerate sound doctrine. Why? Because they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. There is a cosmic usurpation of love. They like God. They like Jesus. They like the idea of not going to hell. but do they love God and do they have a knowing of their God, right? And because they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, they have the form of godliness, they deny the power thereof. They're always learning. They go from podcast to podcast and broadcast to broadcast and YouTube documentary to YouTube documentary, and they're always learning. It's the most hyper-narcissistic, neo-Gnostic paradigm in human history, but they're never able to come to an understanding of the truth, because the truth is actually the person and the deity of Jesus, the Christ, the soon-coming conquering king. That's what they never get to. So here we are saying, America's Mystery Babylon. Nah, it's a revived Roman Empire. No? Okay. America's Mystery Babylon. No, it's actually Babylon proper. Iraq is going to rise from the sands of the Arabian desert, and at the Fertile Crescent and the convergence of the Tigris and the Euphrates, there's going to be a new Nebuchadnezzar-based Babylonian Empire. Nope. Sorry, that's not going on either. Okay, it's going to be the beast system at the end of the age. Sorry, that doesn't fit the bill either. It is America and America unequivocally. And the reality why most Christians can't even receive that or accept that is because they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And Babylon offers them the highest form of pleasure and luxury and comfort and dissipations out of anywhere on the face of the earth. And throughout historicity, when you look at comparative history, throughout the history of humanity. My background, if the listeners don't know, is Sergeant in Marine Corps Infantry. I've got a degree in history. I've operated in federal law enforcement. I'm a paramedic. I'm a tactical EMS. I was a firefighter, tech rescue team, hazmat operations. I've been a missionary overseas, lived overseas for several years at a couple different times, done different archaeological stuff. Disaster relief in all kinds of different areas around the world, served our Christian brothers and sisters in Iraq. Like, I don't say this from some armchair quarterback paradigm, because I sat with my nose in a book for 30 years and go, aha, I have it figured out. Mystery Babylon is a revived Roman Empire because it talks about seven hills. That's gotta be Rome, right? Like, this is boots on the ground revelation of exactly what America is and what we stand for and what we represent and our geopolitics and our geostrategies and our the drunkenness that we have poured out on the face of the earth, the entirety of the earth. Not as a regional superpower like ancient Babylon. It is Mystery Babylon. It is genotypic and phenotypic of the original Babylon, but it's not the original Babylon. It is the daughter of Babylon. It is an offshoot of that spirit, that ruling principality now in this land. And so when we look at the totality of the circumstances, as we would say in law enforcement, right, the preponderance of the evidence and the totality of the circumstances, it's unequivocal. When you get a peek behind the veil of the United States of America from its conceptual inception in the 1600s, from Sir Francis Bacon and Adam Weishaupt, all the way through to the founding fathers and what was going on with the 13 colonies and all the Egyptological Babylonian mystery school tenets of deism that was embedded even in our Constitution and all of our iconography of Washington, D.C. Hello, District of Columbia. Does anybody wonder who Columbia is? Does anybody wonder why it's the District of Columbia and the majority of our presidents come from Columbia University, and it's the Statue of Columbia, Isis, Ishtar, Ishtarte, Astaroth? Does anybody wonder what's going on with the Capitol building and the Egyptological phallic symbol of Nimrodian worship, you know, right across from it with the reflecting pool as an homage to the arcane gods of old, of as above, so below, with that reflecting pool and this, all this highest level occultism on the face of the earth being born out from our District of Columbia? It's rooted in things that most people can't even know or understand. And then it comes all the way up through the present age, where the fulfillment of the fullness of that cup of iniquity, a Mystery Babylon, is on display. And still the Christians don't bat an eye at it. The revelations from the Podesta emails to Epstein Island, right, to the spirit cooking with the Clintons and everything else, to what goes on in Hollywood. What is Hollywood? What is the city of angels? The city of what angels? Does anybody ever ask that? Yeah, it is the city of angels. We better ask what angels and God we trust. Yeah. And what God do we trust? And what God are they saying that they trust? What is the iconography? They're already telling you in what God they trust. And all the revelations of the sex trafficking and whores. I won't go into the details of the language, Doug, just to protect you and your show from getting, you know, who knows what strung up
me,
by the power.
We've talked about it before. You just don't hold back. Our listeners are very, very experienced and they're very smart, very intelligent, and we don't hold back on this show. So you go for it, brother.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm just kind of I'm trying to lay out the framework here for the context to even get the listeners to understand why this is prescient and if it's even valid what Steve and I are talking about here. But it comes all the way through the fullness of the cup of iniquity, filling to overflow, that it's going to be forced right back into our hand, and we're going to be commanded by the Most High God to drink it to the dregs and leave no drop, is the fact that we have made the whole world drunk with our immoralities. One, we've polluted the whole world with our pharmakia, our sorceries, and from us lies the slain of all the earth. We have been the hammer in all the earth, and primarily and first and foremost, as we are the singularity of the trafficking of the souls of men. And more so the point, not the souls of men, but the souls of the innocent, of the least of these, of the children. There has never been, never been an empire as wicked as the United States of America when given comparative history. I have a degree in history. I've studied compared history. Even when you look at it through the lens of high-level occultism and mystery religions and the theocratic basis with which, whether it's the Sumerians or the Phoenicians or the Babylonians or the Assyrians, the Medo-Persians, I don't care. Pick an empire. And then obviously we're all pretty familiar with the Greco-Roman aspects of their mythos and their high-level religious practices. None of them compare to the United States of America. And all of it is being done in plain sight, and the American populace, and in particular the American Christians, are say-nothings and do-nothings. And as the Lord spoke over the Israelites in Zephaniah 1, is woe, woe to the complacent, to you most notable men of the foremost nation who feel secure on your couches. It literally says, you're literally so apathetic, you feel secure on your couches, and you do not know the woe that has been spoken over you because of your complacency, and complacency kills. So when we look at even our geopolitical and geostrategic mechanisms for foreign policy, what most people don't understand, as a component of Mystery Babylon, which began under the Obama administration, is that in order to receive aid from the United States of America, which, don't quote me on these numbers, okay, because they shift, I believe there's approximately 197 official nations in the world right now, give or take a few. And of that, over 180 of them receive aid from the United States. They receive yearly aid packages. Most people don't know that under the abomination of desolation, it was a requirement of our foreign policy that in order to continue receiving aid from the U.S., you must implement LGBT, whatever agenda, and abortion. That was the scene. We have literally made the whole world drunk with our immoralities for the greed, for the greed, for the greed, for the licentiousness with the blood of innocent children. In America, in CONUS alone, we have upwards of 120 million that we can even document of innocent lives that have been slaughtered in America and every major city, and even in the highways and byways of the little rural areas, for the love of pleasure and for the love of self, and as a form of ritualistic sacrifice. And here we have the blood of the innocent literally going into the drains, going into the fresh water systems, going into the water treatment plants, right? For you to re-drink. And there has been high-level cultists that have been caught by investigative journalists bragging about the fact that in their lesser magic, they have the whole United States of America drinking aspects of the blood of the innocents, and they don't even know it. I think maybe it was Project Veritas who blew that wide open. Go ahead, Steve. Oh, you're muted, Steve. Sorry.
What I was saying, Jamie, is absolutely, and their blood is a harmonic reverberation in heaven before saying, how long, O Lord God, and faithful and true, before you avenge us? And ladies and gentlemen, just to kind of put this into context geographically, there are 250,000 rivers in the United States, a land of many waters. And ladies and gentlemen, what Doug and I are trying to get across is that by diverting the people of God from the truth, the evil roots have set up a false parousia, the second coming of Jesus, and they have made everything center around the United States, and there is no pulling back from the judgment of Almighty God. And just as mystery Babylon, based on the historic Babylon, what are we seeing now? We're seeing transhumanism, i.e., men will become gods, they'll never see death, but in order for them to never see death, they got to kill off 6 billion, 7 billion people, which they're openly advocating. And so by the apathy, the indifference, the couch potatoes, you know, the, how should I say this, the removed from reality, and I, you know this, Jamie, this is a great word, reality avoidance syndrome or disorder. In other words, they don't want to touch reality because the personal ramifications will interrupt their responsibility before God. And I think that, you know, you and I and Doug are of the opinion that a lot of people who think they're in the kingdom of heaven or will end up there will be, how should I say this, without mercy and at the lake of fire. So go ahead. This is so critical. Ladies and gentlemen, this is probably one of the most critical subjects for our time because we are in that time where mystery Babylon, the United States, can cease to exist. The kings of the earth will weep because they don't have their number one profit center. And this is so fitting to our time and so fitting to the circumstances that by the inaction, the denial, apathy, and indifference, that's why this country is in the state it's in. That's why this country's facing the fate we're facing. And in my opinion, this is why Mystery Babylon is going to be destroyed. And it's going to be destroyed, excuse me, Jamie and Doug, it's going to be destroyed because God raises up nations that aren't righteous nations to punish even more unrighteous nations. And, you know, if Russia, and I believe it is going to be God's hammer on the United States to take us away. And it's not going to be by water. It's going to be by fire. So go ahead, Jamie. This is how important this is. I hope I'm expressing this is probably the key theme of what's going on in America. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And even to the point about, you know, the blood of the innocents, you know, being one of the key tenets of the United States of America. And again, to deny the empirical objective evidence that has been laid out there by all kinds of investigative journalists and all the whistleblowers and all the whatever, you know, it'd be one thing if 30 years ago we were kind of oblivious to this, but we have no excuses anymore. The Lord has laid bare the sins of this nation, which he always does before he judges, right? Like, amen. Everything is laid bare. He does nothing unless he reveals it to his servants, the prophets first, and he lays bare the iniquities. Why? So that when he judges all the world and the heavenly hosts, both the loyal and the rebel insurgents will know that he is righteously just in all of his ways. So he, even like with Israel, he said, I'm going to totally destroy you guys. You're so wicked and reprobate, but I'm going to leave a remnant so that when whatever nation they flee to, when those nations see their behavior, they'll know I was totally just in what I did to my own people. He says, I'm going to let you see how disgustingly wicked they are, even the remnant. And you'll go, oh, God was so just to do what he did. So back to even the point about the, sorry, it looks like my internet's a little bit unstable. But back to the point about the blood, like even what's going on in Oklahoma City with the 28 plus tremors, you know, a 4.0 and greater magnitude. What most people don't know about Oklahoma City is Oklahoma City is one of the abortion capitals of the United States of America. It is a hotbed of abortion. I have gone down there with faithful brother and sister, this couple that's just amazingly radiant, Ryan and Shelby, and gone down there with them to stand outside and freezing rain for 10 hours, praying over the abortion clinics, praying over the women that are showing up there, and watching the workers come out to sneer and mock and scoff the name of God as we're standing off their private property praying against what's going on there. And the Lord gave me a little bit of insight. This isn't normal for me, but when we were out there praying and praying and praying for hours and hours and hours, he let me see this spiritual wickedness, this unclean spirit on the pinnacle of the gable end of that abortion clinic in Oklahoma City. And he let me see it. And it was the most disgusting, vile thing, probably about 20 foot tall, you know, this dark figure, shadowy, demonic-y thing. And it was laughing at us. It was laughing at us because it knew it had rights to that property because of the church, because of the Christians, because of the say nothings, do nothings. It was laughing at us. And in a spirit, I'm just like, I'll freaking rip your throat out of your neck. Like, dude, you have no idea who I am, bro. I'm coming at you in the name of Jesus Christ, right? And so when I see these tremors in Oklahoma City, when I see the San Andreas and then up through the Cascadia with Portlandia and everything that's going on there, when I look at what's going on in the central United States, and we even have, you know, the new Madrid fault line and the different rumors and rumblings of what's going on down there, it is my speculation. This is straight Jamie speculation. There's nothing to back it up. But when God says the earth will disclose the blood shed upon it, it is my presupposition that the earth is going to literally vomit, and the crustal plate shifting and displacement is going to erupt all over Mystery Babylon because of the amount of blood that our tributaries and waterways and highways have been forced to soak up, and it is groaning inwardly because it's been subjected to punishment, but not by its own will, longing for the sons of glory to be revealed. And one day it's literally going to vomit the blood that we have forced into it because it's crying out for the justice of God and the judgment of God to come on this land. And that's why I believe we're beginning to see all these tremors in and around these very particular areas in the world. I mean, talk about the wisdom of God to speak the world into existence with the fault lines that he knew thousands of years later he was going to allow them to break open at the appointed time because he knew it would be a place of iniquity. I mean, how's that for the sovereignty of God?
And I don't believe you're speculating. And it's not just because I agree with you, because I do, but that's so biblical because, again, what God is saying, and all the people like Tesla physics, I'm one of them, but he said frequency is one of the keys to understanding the secrets of the universe. So the harmonic, and this is a word I've never used before, the harmonic symphony of those who have been slaughtered, the innocent blood, I believe is literally changing the matter that we're talking about, the different New Madrid, San Andreas, all the faults, and also the literal nature of matter is changing. And this is why it's so critical that when we read the Word of God, God's Word, this is important, God's Word created light. God said, let there be light. The light didn't exist until the Lord said, let there be that. Let there be light. And when God speaks things into existence, you can't take it apart. You can't take it down. And just as historic Babylon, the Tower of Babel, for those who want to pronounce it that way, you know, it was destroyed. Their language is scrambled. And now the technological achievement of we shall be as gods. This is the basis of all transhumanism. In other words, they, fallen men under the influence of Lucifer and fallen angels, are going to create a better being or entity, and they're going to get rid of all of God's quote-unquote mistakes. Well, I wish, brother, I could have been there and had the power of Elijah when you were praying with your brother and sister, our brother and sister, and called fire down from heaven. The reason those entities can mock us is because nothing is more, I'll say this, the maxim, in my opinion, of this day and age, nothing is more non-involved, or no one is no more involved and non-involved in reality than that which claims itself or to claim that they're Christians. A Christian nation? Obama only said one thing I actually agree with. when he said America is no longer a Christian nation. And that was a true statement. But, you know, the leaven that's come into this country is so great now. So I'm just saying, brother, there's actual quantum. I love that word, physics, to substantiate the blood of the innocents, changing the, if you will, the cohesive nature of the fault lines. And they're going to blow apart. And ladies and gentlemen, you can go on and watch different YouTube videos of how sound affects water, how sound affects matter. You remember the old BASF? That was a company that produced cassette tapes and everything. They'd play a speaker by a glass, and it would shatter. And they were making the point that the right frequency shatters everything. The right frequency to shatter the powers of darkness is the praise of God's people in imprecatory prayer. And Jamie, we don't even know, as the majority of Christendom, spelled D-U-M-B on the end, I'm not talking about followers of Jesus, but those who claim, and you cannot be friends with the world and friends with God, it doesn't work. So in essence, what we're talking about, everyone, is that we in the United States have made war on the living God. And Jamie told you his military experience, but we're watching now the beginning of full-scale judgment unfolding. And tell Jamie, if you wouldn't mind, because we're talking about Mystery Babylon, share the things that the Lord has shown you that are going to fall. In other words, each one of the events we're dealing with is another quote-unquote brick in the wall, but maybe brick in the Tower of Babel, and it came down. So how do you see the, if you will, the acceleration of the destruction of Mystery Babylon?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I look at, I always look at it from a biblical worldview. Obviously, it's the only worldview I'm ever going to look at anything through. But then I, you know, just being adept at studying and researching and talking to different guys and having been in particular professions that allow me to be able to analyze data, you know, from a primary source perspective, it's very easy for me to be aware of what comes next. You know, I mean, obviously based on pundits and intelligence analysis and geopolitics and different maneuvers, even economically and even culturally. But what is coming next for America, I don't think anybody can wrap their mind around. And we have the precedents for it, not the precedents for the amount of judgment that's going to come, but the precedents for how it's going to come. And we're told empirically, Jeremiah 50:51, talking about the destruction of the daughter of Babylon, right? It's a future Babylon. It wasn't, there was some type and shadow for the immediacy of Babylon at that time under Nebuchadnezzar, right? And those days, but it alludes to the future destruction of a future Babylon, a Babylon that is globalistic in its pursuits. It's the hammer of all the earth. It's the center of all trade. It's the center of all economies. It's the center of precious metals and precious metals exchange. Read Revelation 18. It's the center of pharmakia. The pharmakia for all the earth comes out from Mystery Babylon. It's the center of all global purchasing and purchasing power. I think I already mentioned entertainment. It's the center of all the entertainment industry. It's the center of the textiles and manufacturing. It's the center of everything of all the earth. And yet what the scriptures say emphatically over and over and over again is suddenly in an instant, suddenly in an instant, suddenly in an instant. That is the singularity of the destruction of Mystery Babylon. That's different from the internal decay of every other empire in the history of humanity. All the other empires have gone into decay, systematic decay. But if you pay attention, they all still currently exist today. Iraq exists today. Rome and Italy exist today. The Greeks and the Grecian Empire exist today. Syria, which is the Assyrians, still exist today. They all still exist. None of them have been utterly wiped off the face of the earth. But the peculiarity of Mystery Babylon, it's in a single day and a single hour and a suddenly, in the instant, it is done. All the smoke is seen arising from her cities. It is no more. It talks about an alliance of her enemies coming against her, an alliance being formed in secret from her enemies. And also the scriptures speak about an alliance of her once former allies coming against her. Think about the United States of America recently destroying Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 gas pipelines to feed what are historically our long-term allies in Europe. You have France pivoting towards Russia and China. You have Germany pivoting towards Russia and China. You have some of the Scandinavian countries, the Baltic nation states, right? We have a lot of like the Kosovo, Moldova, Bosnia, you know, Herzegovina, that type of area pivoting. All the stands are pivoting. North Africa and the Horn of Africa are pivoting. Everybody is pivoting because they are sick of the wickedness of Mystery Babylon. Though they have grown rich from and grown drunk from our mercantilism and from our high affluence and luxuries, they actually all are, not all, but many are in secret agreements to turn their backs on the U.S. or to look a blind eye when these other mega superpower nations come against the United States of America. We are very well aware of the infiltration from inside and outside of the United States of America, and actually the what would be a cordoning off of the United States from both the southern border and the northern border and the Gulf and both coasts through subsurface warfare and other means of electronic warfare all the way out to the Pacific to what happened in Lahaina and Maui and our strategic missile defense systems that are out there all the way over into the other aspect of it, right? Guam and our other forward operating bases that have these same assets in place there. And all of them single-handedly, singularly right now in real time are being assaulted and taken down and their eyes are being gouged out. Enter the Chinese spy balloon that was allowed through stand down orders from the executive branch down to our military industrial complex to stand down and allow it to do what it was here to do, which from what I've learned was to collect the encoding, the particular encoding from the nuclear football and strategic command of the PIOC to the missileer systems in both Montana and North Dakota to delay the launch by 6 minutes. That's how nuanced in particular the intel that I've been made aware of, that spy balloon came over just to pull the data, the electronic warfare data, to be able to delay that message getting to the missileers and our terrestrial-based missile systems as a part of our nuclear triad, to just delay them being able to launch a strike when they see the other missiles inbound. That was the whole purpose of the Chinese spy balloon. Now that even gets into the firing of the 12 missileers and the firing of the top tier command guys and the restructuring. I mean, this stuff is going on in real time for the wholesale complete destruction of Mystery Babylon in a single day, in a single hour. That doesn't even scratch the surface on the, by Michael Yawn and other amazing investigative journalists, depictions, boots on the ground, primary source depictions of the Chinese military age fighting men, up to 10,000 a week coming across the U.S. border, pre-staging with assets. We have, you know, our deep water ports being sold off to the Chinese back in the day. We have the Panama Canal being given over to China by the Biden administration. Excuse me. Currently, you have Trudeau to the north signing bilateral agreements with the CCP to allow Chinese military to come and secure their assets if they happen to be in Canada or they have any form of Canadian operations. We have the firsthand primary source reports of armor brigades, Chinese armor brigades staged in Vancouver Island and elsewhere. And Steve, I just learned this yesterday from a guy, and I won't give any indicators other than to say that he is an electrical engineer that specifically works in the top tier elite of underground bunker construction. He's just the electrical engineer side of it.
And again, Jamie, I think the thing that people need to understand, by the way, it was the triad. It was an inverted triangle. It starts in Malmstrom Air Force Base. Then it goes to Grand Forks, North Dakota, and then it goes down into Cheyenne, Wyoming. And ladies and gentlemen, what Jamie's telling you is so critical because it all fits. And ladies and gentlemen, we've been sold out, sold down the drain. And when you hear that the Deagle Report is saying there's going to be 250 to 270 million Americans dead by next year at this time, I would say, Jamie, that's kind of a kick in the butt that you better start realizing what's going on. And, you know, I got an email from a veteran, okay, and combat veteran, and he was telling me that he was in a store in Utah, encountered a Chinese soldier. Guy didn't have Chinese uniform, but he was a Chinese soldier. And my friend said, we're going to resist you. And the Chinese said to him, just boldly and just as matter-of-factly as he could, we've already defeated you. Your country is now ours. And ladies and gentlemen, we have no, and Jamie, you need to address it because you're a military guy, but we have no force in this country that could repel even a narco-terrorist invasion, let alone all of the terrorist cells, where if it's the IRGC, the Iranian Guard, or you name it. We do not have any capabilities, and yet those chirpies in Washington want to disarm us. And do you think that Americans can even embrace the fact that we have such treason, treachery, lechery, debauchery, and the mockery of the living God, that we're already, in essence, we're a captured nation? And people say, oh, you don't love your country. I do. I love the country that was, that honored God, equal justice under the law. Now there's no justice at all except to watch a debauched legal system with crazy-ass judges absolutely abrogating the rule of law, making, as Doug was one of the first guys, Doug, you remember this, talking about lawfare and using the law as warfare against the people, but it would be predetermined outcomes. For instance, all these rioters for Palestine and all this stuff going on in Gaza, not one of those people's charged. That we still have 450 plus brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The majority of them are Christians, and the Christians don't even, choose your words wisely, Steve, they don't even know what that symbolizes. Then you get some crazy-haired hater of white people, which she likes platinum blonde hair, whatever her name is, I forget her name now, but, blaming everything on white Christians. This is not about racism. It's about realism. But Jesus told us in Matthew 24, it would evolve into racism because kingdom would come against kingdom, and nation means ethnic against nation, ethnic. Bozeman, Montana, we have now two of them. We have super heavy presence of narco-terrorist gangs and drugs running through this town like running water. I had to take a friend of mine to the hospital, the emergency room, about a month ago, and everybody in the emergency room could not speak English. They had to bring someone out. And Jamie, I'm not kidding you, I counted them. I can at least count to 12. And the bottom line is they all had cell phones. And I asked somebody there, I said, you just have to, and they said this, I said, you have to, handle this? Because the American medical system is being assassinated. And ladies and gentlemen, we're not overwhelming or being overwhelmed just by the borders. Every aspect of our society, we have vets that are being, and this is true, they're being taken off the streets and they're being taken to places where they're never seen again. That's the old, that was going on 20 years ago. So, Jamie, how do you, Doug, and I would say this, God has blessed us. It's Him. It's His blessing on our lives to articulate and I hate the word the lateness of the hour. I'm down to the sin of the second, the madness of the minute. But we're still so impotent. And this is an accurate, people say, you're just making it all up. No, I'm not making it all up. But the from a fighting man's position, who's been all over the world, private security contractor, everything you've done, Marine, I think it's important that you explain the pre-positioning of men and materials, because you just are hearing the same thing I know I'm hearing in the background, that we don't even have ammunition to send to our, I call them expeditionary forces, U.S. military guys we're sending out of country, different places in the world. They take whatever they're assigned. How many rounds of ammo does an average Marine carry, for instance, if you've got, go ahead.
Yeah, it depends, but typically, even our loadout is six full mags at 30 rounds a mag, and if you're doing more of a direct action mission, you might be loaded out with 12 full mags, which is quite a bit to carry, maybe some bandoliers so that you can restock on the fly, but it's not a lot. And it is interesting to note the strategic nature of how this suddenly with regards to Mission Babylon comes. And I'm going to back up a little bit and answer a question that you asked a couple minutes ago, Steve, is how or why aren't we able to understand the nature of the reality, the lateness of the hour? Like you said, the madness of the minute or the sin of the second is it's in regard to the pride and the arrogancy. And if we go back, like we're, you know, to stay Mystery Babylon centric, is that the moniker for Mystery Babylon is the arrogant one. Jeremiah 50, Jeremiah 51, Revelation 18, that is the singularity of the posture of Mystery Babylon, is arrogancy. Arrogancy. Here's what most people don't understand because they're not super in tune to anywhere else in the world other than what's going on in Hollywood and on freaking Facebook or some other ridiculous thing, right? Is that we are such a pariah in the mouths of the Arabs and the Middle Easterners and even the Far East, including Russia and China. Listen to, go read all the sound bites of Dmitry Medvedev with regards to the United States of America and the other top tier leaders in Russia and the Chinese leadership and Wei Fang, you know, the head of what would be their equivalent of Department of Defense, and read and watch what they say about America. We are only ever referred to because they don't even want to call us by the United States of America because we're not worthy of being called a nation. They refer to us as the arrogant ones. That's it. That is their word for us. It is prophetic fulfillment in real time before the eyes of all the world and the eyes of all the nations and the eyes of all the Pollyanna, panty-waist, skinny jean-wearing Christians, that this thing is coming because God has decreed it. And can calamity come upon a nation unless the Lord has decreed it? No. That's a facetious question from the Lord God Almighty to his people. No. And so what they don't understand is the arrogancy and their denial unto death and their deliberate, willful love of the world and things of the world and their love of pleasure rather than love of God and their form of godliness with the denial of the power thereof and their intolerance of truth. They'll tolerate everything but the truth and but sound doctrine is why this suddenly is going to occur. And the guy was, I'm one guy removed. So I always give a qualifier. I didn't talk to him directly. I am one person removed. So this is primary source, one person removed, said that he, and I'm in Minnesota right now. I'm on the road right now speaking at some events and stuff like that. And, he was in northern Minnesota. Specifically, he said he is scared to death because he put in a really high-end underground facilities for a wealthy guy. And when he was in there, the guy told him everything has to be done by April 1st. Everything changes this year. There is no nation left. He told him that in closed door meeting when they were buttoning up the project. Then he was working on another project up in northern Minnesota. He said, I don't know who they were. I have no clue because we have all these NDAs that we have to sign and it's compartmentalized, like who's doing the concrete versus who's doing electrical, who's doing the build out, who's doing the whatever. And he said that it was for huge groups of Russian soldiers. This year, he was putting in facilities for huge groups of Russian soldiers in Minnesota, right? I went to the Mall of America yesterday. I literally walked through. I've never been there before. I was like, oh, cool. I'll take the kids, man. We'll ride some roller coasters or whatever. You know, I want to see this iconography of Americana. You know, let's go check it out. I have never seen a greater consolidation of open Muslim Islamic practitioners in my life outside of the Middle East than what I saw on the Mall of America. Prayer rugs rolled out, people praying everywhere. I don't know if you, I mean, it was maybe a year or something ago where a Muslim guy came and threw an Anglo kid over the railing of the third story in there because he said because they were an Anglo and it was bothering him. Like this infiltration, fifth column forces from the cartels, which is China. Most people know cartels are owned and run by China. China runs all the cartels, from the cartels to Hezbollah, Hamas, other fifth column forces, terroristic actors, to professional troops of both the Chinese and the Russian ilk, to armor brigades, to cruiser weapons, heavy weapon systems, intelligence and intelligence gathering capabilities, signals intel, cyber warfare. The Grid X1 and Grid X2 drills were Obama brought in Russia and China to teach them how to take down aspects of the U.S. power grid and then bring it back up selectively in the Grid X1 and Grid X2 drills that were conducted, I can't even remember now, 7-8 years ago. And then you look at all the Chinese infiltration from all of our top tier congressmen and women and our senators all being called out for what they were, with housing and embedding and paying off Chinese spies and infiltration, to our high level academia, to the fact that Xi Jinping just received his conqueror's welcome onto the West Coast to go meet with the heads of all of our tech companies, which are running the infrastructure for the totality of the coming, credit score system and all the other lockdown and consolidation of all information campaigns and all empirical data getting out to the American populace. All this is happening in real time, but in the arrogancy and the Nimrodian hubristic nature of the Pollyanna Christianity churchianity and the nation at large, they say, which is the posture of the arrogant one of Mystery Babylon? I'll never be a widow. I'll never see harm. I'll never see mourning. And in a single day, in a single hour, it's a done deal. And so when I look at this thing, just straight objectively, from a biblical worldview, every prophetic, nuanced detail and utterance of the spirit and the posture of Mystery Babylon and the tangible revelations of what's going to occur on Mystery Babylon are currently in place. There is no future tense, none whatsoever. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, here's the thing, and I think that it's important that people understand. With all these people coming in, they bring their gods, little g's, which are not God. They bring their demons. And then the hierarchy and control, is right out of the fallen angel playbook. And I want to read this, Jamie, and then have you comment, because this is important. America becomes the go-to place for all of the unclean spirits, every foul spirit, and every unclean and hateful bird. But let me read this. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth wax rich through the abundance of her delicacies. This is like, the ultimate cruise trip for every evil spirit. So in essence, we're kind of the magnet for the maggots. I'm talking about demonic maggots. I'm talking about fallen angel. And people don't understand Babylon. And when God says something twice, or his angelic messengers, I mean, he's making a point. So the habitation of devils. I've never been to the Mall of America, but what I've heard, and remember this, we saw Muslims run for office in Minnesota, and then the what's it called, where the Muslims pray so many times a day, and the, you hear them talking or screaming or whatever, call to prayer from the minarets. That's taking place now literally in Minneapolis, the city. It's been taken over. And when people see Muslims praying in the United States on their rugs, they're claiming that for Allah. They're claiming that for themselves. And Jamie, we can get into this too, with all the abortions, with all the child sacrifice, with everything, America cannot reproduce itself. And I remember hearing a terrorist, a mullah say this, with our women's wombs, we will defeat you. And then he said, you guys can't even reproduce anymore. And he used another word, not guys, but, probably scumbags in Arabic. But the point is that we're now watching the literal fulfillment of that, because when you were in the Mall of America, didn't you notice that they had a lot of kids? Some of them have massive amounts of kids who, by the way, get welfare in the United States or from the state of Minnesota. So as you're watching, you're out in Minnesota speaking, all this stuff is coming into focus, because, again, I don't know the hour, I don't know the day, but I certainly know it's in place and it's underway. And when it comes like that. And I think what American Christians who, let's just say this, reality followers of Jesus Christ, don't even understand or embrace that 250 million Americans are going to go into either hell, the majority will go to hell, and the very few will go to heaven instantly like that. They'll be thrust into eternity. They will have no time to repent, especially with the 6-minute countdown. It takes us 6 minutes to get any of our weapons, nuclear weapons, launched and airborne. It takes Russia 90 seconds. They're on a 90-second countdown. So address that again from what you see in Minnesota, what you're experiencing in Minnesota, but also as a soldier, as a warrior. I mean, would you say that at this point...
Sorry, Steve, as a Marine.
Yes, I'm sorry. And I stand corrected. And, you know, listen.
It's just a Marine thing, you know.
No. I understand. And the Marines are, and I say this, a lot of people who are my friends are Marines, but the point is that... What I'm trying to thank you for correcting me. I have something to say.
I'm teasing you, Steve.
No, it's okay. But in essence, you know, because of the Marines and because of that attitude and because of the gratitude and because of just the history of the Marine Corps, can you imagine, and this is true, Jamie, I'm not kidding now. I want everybody to understand, I couldn't be more serious, that there are entities, and when I use the word entity, I'm talking about demon-possessed humans or entities that are fallen angels that are out to destroy our military. They're being sent. This is just 24-hour ago intel. They're being sent. The plans are in place to send them into battle with what they have in their backpack, 630-round mags. And there's nothing in the pipeline because there's nothing being manufactured. There's no gunpowder. There's no strategic metals in this country. There's no necessary chemicals for different formulas for high explosives. So, I mean, I'm asking you as a former Marine, not former, I learned that's wrong too. As a Marine, I stand corrected. My apologies again. As someone who sees this in real time, what do you think the attitude, let's just talk about the Marine Corps, will be when Marines are trained to do a job and do it, but, oh, by the way, they're told by their COs who are nervous, this is another thing, you can read between the lines, we won't have any extra ammo or, you know, weapons to accompany you because they'll be coming later. I would say the S word, and I would go, wait a minute, my brothers. This is a setup. And so what I'm saying, given the current military posture and insanity that's, you know, represented in the country, what would that say to you as a Marine if you knew you were being deployed, you know, military term? And the thing is, I know so few. The bottom line is that what would be the mindset? Because, again, Marines have a different mindset than the Army. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I can tell you, Steve, that is the fear, or not the fear. Maybe that's a poor choice of words, but that's the understanding of the reality of what's going on with this strategic drawdown of all of our reserves, strategic reserves. I think you and I talked before about even the anti-tank missile systems. You know, I had a unique job in the Marine Corps where I was cross-trained in a lot of different things. I was more schooled than the normal guy in there. Went to school after school. So anything from javelin missile systems, anti-tank assault man, tow missile systems, heavy machine, 50 cal Mod deuces, Mark 19s, medium machine guns, demo, dynamic entry, you know, work some with STAY, our scout snipers and did a bunch of different things in there, you know, even forward air control and FON and Conan and Jets and blah, blah, blah. All the high speed cool guy stuff, right? And so we have what they've been doing is strategically drawing down all of our missile systems that cannot be replaced. Not just our missile systems, but even the oil and strategic oil reserves to operate that war machine. We have what went on in Afghanistan with the leaving of all the armaments over there. And I understand there's layers of the military-industrial complex where it's a total exploitation of the bid system for contracts and the money, and there's money changing hands. That's not abnormal to have billions and billions of dollars of U.S. armaments left or thrown off the corners of ships or given away to other countries after the cessation of hostilities, and we do it as a tit-for-tat trade. Like, I remember fighting alongside Guatemalans. I was operating with Spanish Special Forces, Polish Special Forces, different things. And I'm like, what are you guys doing here? Like, it's so weird seeing these different coalition troops. And they're like, well, our government gets all this equipment that we're using. If we do a 6-month rotation, then we get this U.S. equipment for our military when we're done. So there, it's not all like hyper conspiratorial. There is some normal nuances of how the military industrial complex works. I mean, it's all an exploitation of money and people and greed, right? But this is all being done very intentionally under the Obama administration. Notice everything broke open. Obama broke the seal and tore the veil of the seen and the unseen over the United States of America. He shut down the what I believe at the time was the last lead smelting plant, knowing that they can never do the disarmament of the American citizenry. That Absolutely. Is a certainty. They know that. So you remove the lead, then you remove the gunpowder, then you remove the strategic reserves of oil. You can't do anything without mobility. You remove mobility, you remove everything. That's the whole purpose of the electric vehicle green movement thing going on, is to cut off all mobility from the American populace, right? Then you remove their armaments, and then you buy out and you sell out as many of your top tier commanders, including the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as you can. And those who still will not acquiesce to the modus operandi of the total wholesale destruction of America, if they won't stand down, they still mobilize a defense, whether they're National Guard commanders, Marine Corps, Army, Air Force, Coast Guard, I don't care, even members within the federal law enforcement community that will not go along with this plan. They don't care because you have nothing to fight with. So they don't operate off of plan A, B, C. They operate off of plan A through the entire Chinese symbolic numeric, you know, alphabet. They have so many periphery, secondary, tertiary plans to make sure that they will get where they want to go. Then they have all kinds of different avenues to approach it. So that's what's going on even right now with America's ability to mount a defense. Most people don't know and understand that we have the most vulnerable military on the face of the earth. We have the most vulnerable nation on the face of the earth. We have the most vulnerable borders and coastal defenses on the face of the earth. Why is that the case? Because of our arrogancy. The arrogancy is why we are going to be destroyed in the suddenly. Let's back up a little bit to even talk about the roots of the American. You brought up a good point, Steve, when you talked about America being like a magnet for every, you know, it says a haunt and a hideout for every foul and unclean spirit, right? Every foul and unclean spirit, a haunt and a hideout. Most people don't understand the origins of America. Amaruca, right, as it was coined by the ancient people and the First Nations people, including the Rari and the Nazca and up to the Incan and the Mayan, right, and the Aztec and these different people groups all the way up into this area. Amaruca is the land of the winged plumed serpent. That is a fiery, serpentine, reptilian, ophidian creature, one-third of which rebelled against God, that owns this land. The whole world lies in the evil one. Why do you think all the Norse Vikings came here and we have their boats all over up in the north? And then you have the Egyptological monuments, which, Steve, I know you've done seminal work and research and documentary films regarding this throughout the West and the desert Southwest. And then we have even the wholesale, the all skate of all the occultic practices in the world coming here with the Bavarian Illuminati through Adam Weishaupt and Sir Francis Bacon in the late 1600s. Then you have all the deists coming from Europe to have this all skate where they can do all their occultic religious practices. Then you have the City of Angels on the opposite side where there's, you know, the deep underground caverns and catacombs of these different entities coming up out of the earth there. Then you have the mounds, Cahokia Mounds in the Ohio River Valley, where this is where every haunt and hideout of every foul and unclean spirit in history has come and to do their all skate in this particular land. And our government specifically was founded, built up, and erected. Look at the iconography, read their primary source documents, read their journals about what they saw as the future of the United States of America. They see this as the place where the arcane gods of old, the golden age of gods, the rise of the Atlantean age, of the most hate, the
hateful insurgent rebels of old can rule and reign once more. They perform the Rising of Osiris ceremony at the inauguration of every president. You guys can go watch seminal work and research done by Tom Horn and even Justin and Wes Fall, the Fall brothers, or the Belly of the Beast documentary. And Tom Horn, right before the Lord drew him home, did an exceptional work and documentation of the secret hidden destiny of the United States of America. Powerful stuff. And you're like, oh my goodness. When you get a peek behind the veil, never, never would you doubt that America's mystery Babylon. And see, why this is crucial for the listeners to know and understand is you have to break your comfort paradigm. It's not even a normalcy bias. It's a comfort bias. You have to break your narcissistic, arrogant comfort bias to even receive the reality of the depths of what's going on in the United States of America and what we do internationally before you can understand what comes next. And if you don't understand America's mystery Babylon and you don't understand what comes next, why would you ever repent and come underneath a holy God who loves you and bought you with the precious blood of his son, Jesus Christ? See, you can't be undone by the gospel until you've been undone by sin, until you're undone by the what necessitates the righteous, just wrath of God. You can't be undone by the gospel. So you have to systematically get our pea brains to break open the reality of what comes next so that by the mercy and the loving kindness of God, you might run into him and be safe. I didn't be saved physically, but be safe in Christ Jesus, a life hidden in Christ, bought and paid for by the imperishable blood of the Lamb, that you would have such a resiliency, such a boldness, such a steadfastness and resoluteness in the completed work of Christ that you can be like, bro, I know the word of my testimony, and I absolutely know the blood of my Lamb, and there ain't no life that you can take from me. I do not love my life so much as I'm afraid to lose it. It is hidden in my King. Go ask him if you want to touch a hair on my head. That's where all this culminates, is an understanding and a knowing of what's coming so that you would know your God and you might actually be strong in that day and go forth in the strength of your God and do daring feats of valor back to the glory of your God. And so if you don't understand this base level framework, how could you ever build to a knowing of your God and being so secure in Christ Jesus that you're like, bring it on, bro. You lose, we win. I know my King. And that should be the totality of where all this leads to, Steve.
Well, and I think that it's the Lordship of Jesus Christ is the most avoided and evaded topic because, Jimmy, I see it so plainly. And obviously, I've got a few years on my belt and I'm on the way to heaven. You're on the way to occupy the land till God calls you home. But the bottom line is where we are charged with being the salt of the earth. But until people understand the reason why there's no Jesus mentioned in the churches, and I'm talking about however many people claim to be Christians or going to Joel Osteen's this or this mega church that, it's interesting that Jesus left the pulpit, not because he chose to, but that the American preachers kicked him out. And where there's no Jesus, there's no Holy Spirit to convict, because the Holy Spirit's number one job is to lift up Jesus. And the spirit of conviction's gone. And I call them now, those giant megachurches, Ichabodtoriums, Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed. But here's where we're at, Jamie. Only God can take the veils and scales. You've heard me say this for a pretty long time. The veil is what is over our eyes. The scale is what we weigh in our hearts. Do I stand up for Jesus now? Oh, if I say the name of Jesus, should I tell that pastor he's looking at that girl in the front row? Something's wrong. In one case of one of the most famous movements of praise and worship, it was Hillsong, H-E-L-L song. They started as Hillsong. And when the amount of adultery, debauchery came right by to the leadership, it was easy to see that the devil's number one goal is to seduce men of God, and we can address this right now if you got, I think we got time, is to seduce the men of God into extramarital affairs. I'm not justifying. I'm saying that's the enemy. The pornography is the biggest export of the United States of America outside of child sex trafficking, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, and Steve, I mean, that's a good point. And you know, Doug alluded to it way at the beginning is most people don't know. It's one of those things where it's hard to even know how to articulate and talk about it because of OPSEC and stuff like that. But like on the periphery, I'm involved in different aspects of global child sex trafficking rehabilitation and counter child sex trafficking. So anti-encounter are two different variations of how that works. And it's one of the things even that I was a part of in the Dominican Republic, building safe houses, safe compounds and stuff like that for the victims of child sex trafficking. It's still up and running to this day. If anybody wants to go support this organization, it's our sister organization with our ministry. The other family that is operating the camp with me now in Colorado, lived there for 8 years. That was their sole focus, is the rehabilitation of the victims of sex trafficking. It's easy for guys like me to go in and kick doors and snatch people out, right? Like, that's what we do. The real work is in the rehabilitation. It is years and years and years of trauma, satanic ritualistic abuse. The stories that we hear from these girls and boys is beyond comprehension. If there's anything that you ever are like, Lord, what should I support? You should support Fight Ministries, F-I-G-H-T ministries.org, freeing individuals from the grasp of human trafficking. That is our organization, the Dominican Republic, and it is singularly centered on the rehabilitation of the children that we get yanked out of the global sex trafficking. And what's interesting is operating in that world, what we learned, Steve, is beyond comprehension. For one thing, Dominican Republic, which happens to be an island in the Caribbean, not too far from a lot of the islands off the tip of Florida, right? We're talking about a very particular island. It is the hub of global child sex trafficking. The Ukrainian organized crime and the Russian organized crime and the Canadians all operate on the Dominican Republic, and it's out from there that they take the kids and they go elsewhere. What we were told while we were down there operating by a guy from the teams, who said, you guys don't know what you're getting into, me and another friend, and he was the primary guy. I was periphery. I was only down there for 2 years. He was down there for eight. And he was on the teams, and he said, you don't understand what you're getting into. Back off. You and all your families are going to be slaughtered in your sleep. He was told that, and he said, what goes on down here is the snuff rape camps for all the U.S. elite. That is what's happening in the mountains of Jarabacoa, Dominican Republic, out towards Pico Duarte, which I've summited that peak and stuff like that. Back in that area, the Dominican Republic, towards the no man lands up to the Haitian border. Oh, that's funny. It seems like the Clinton Foundation AIDS got caught running kids across from Haiti, across that exact spot in the border. And they said in that area, it's where they come to do their hunt rate camps. They pick out a kid, they let him go, and they give them a time frame, and then they hunt them. And when they find them, they rape them, and then they take their lives. And when we were operating down there, the singularity of everything that's happening down there is the American people. Here's the caveat I want to get to. Is I was just down there last year in December. We were doing some investigations. We had hidden cameras, blah, blah, blah. I got told I was going to get my throat slit while I was walking down the street and all that. Like, that's just the world, right, that you operate in down there. It's all Americans down there, all down there to buy women, children, and boys. And they're all upper middle class. And they were all being supported by American Christian ministries. Not all. That's too big of a generalization. I apologize. That's an overgeneralized statement. They were being undergirded and propagated by very well-known American Christian ministries. And
we found the same thing. Jamie,
go ahead.
You cannot possibly understate the importance of the Dominican. What's going on? We found this out. We verified this. Obviously, we've worked the mainland side of this, but even the proximity of Epstein Island to the Dominican, to the Haiti issue.
Haiti, yeah.
Okay, with respect to Laura Silsby, who came back, changed her name, is working for a support group for a child rescue, the Amber Alert system, so to speak. Look, folks, and what Jamie is saying, too, the threat is real. The threat to him being down there is real because we get a taste of it on the mainland. I know what we get. So what you get is 10 times, 100 times that. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, here's what we were told down there as we were interacting with other ministries that are down there to work in sex trafficking. And the reason why they do that is because it's sensational and sexy and it draws a lot of money. So everybody throws out that word sex trafficking because then, oh, you must be in a top tier ministry, right? And that draws the money. And what we found is talking to these other pseudo ministries using the name of Jesus, saying they're working in sex trafficking, is when we would have sit down meetings with them, what they actually told us is they support the sex workers because they need to earn an income. And it's actually about empowering women to use their bodies to exploit the Johns. I was told specifically by a Christian ministry head that they encourage the women to use their bodies to get as much money as they can from the men flying down there to chew them up and spit them out so that they could be empowered for Jesus as a woman feminist in Christ. Specifically told that. And that there's names, big name ministries that undergird these little offshoot para ministries down there that are propagating the child sex trafficking. Okay, now let's shift back to the United States of America. The Barna and Pew research polls regarding pornography in the church. The last one that I read said 70% of pastors polled admit to looking at porn once a week. If they're looking at porn, they are a child sex trafficker. Period. Listeners, if you are looking at porn, you are a child sex trafficker, period. There is no way around it. I don't care how you try to massage the language. I don't care how you massage your reprobate perversions. No sexually immoral man or greedy man or such a man as an idolater ought not think he has an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. The prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effectual. Husbands, live in considerations with your wives as a lesser vessel so that your prayers are not hindered. Not only are you in open adultery against your wife, you are a propagator of global child sex trafficking, and the Lord ain't listening to a word you say. Not a word you say. He is not listening to you. You are offensive on a level that you don't even know and understand. And now we know, publicly profess, these are the ones that profess that 70% of pastors are doing that. 70% of pastors are not just in adultery against their wives. They're part of the global pedophilia and child sex trafficking. And by the way, let me add the caveat to this. The street value of a child in the Dominican Republic in the sex trade is minimal. They have a lifespan of 2 years, and then their organs are harvested because the value of the organs is tenfold what they are as a street worker or a sex worker for the global elite. They say a two-year lifespan before the organs are harvested. So, men, you think you're so freaking manly because you like to womanize and look at this bullshit 24/7? You're out of your freaking minds. You're out of your freaking minds. You are an active participant in the top tier wickedness of Mr. Babylon on the face of the earth. You are a top tier participant. You have blood on your hands. You have organs on your hands. You have the innocent and the least of these on your hands. Oh, but that's just a hot chick on TikTok or Instagram or whatever. No, it's not. It's a freaking kid. And the number one way that they get trafficked is through Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok. We learn, we do the investigations. They can take a 10-year-old girl and make her look like she's 21 so you don't know that, so you don't feel guilty about what you're swiping and looking at, getting your freaking jollies off of. This is insane, Stephen Doug. It's insane beyond comprehension. And it is the Christians. It is the Christians who are leading from the front in this. It is the pastors and the pulpits. Woe to you, shepherds. Woe to you, priests, and woe to you, prophets. Woe to you, says the Lord.
I'm speechless. I didn't know that. I knew some of that. But what is astonishing to me is why I would not think that some of the biggest ministries, not all, would be involved in sex trafficking. You know, I think that people need to understand that we have a, how should I say this? We have a paradigm in America that's actually, Jamie, I believe, is being used by the Lord to shake that false paradigm, the false expectation, but the reality of why. I heard a prophecy, Jamie. I don't know if I told you this, but God said there are more witches and warlocks in the pulpits of the churches of America. This is God. You don't believe he said it? Take it up with him. Then there are my men of God who are speaking for me. Because everybody I know, and you know, I mean, that's just in my limited sphere, doesn't go to churches. They're looking for a real shepherd after the heart of God. And what you're telling me, it goes beyond the realm of disgust. And ladies and gentlemen, the word snuff means to murder these young girls, these young men. And isn't it interesting that some of the blowback, you know, I don't know about Tim Ballard. I don't know all of the nuances about him, but I do know this.
By the way, we do know him personally. And okay. No, I'll just say no comment.
Okay.
I'll just say no comment on that whole reality on that end.
So. Right. But I'm saying this, that at least the movie brought to the attention of the world the sex trafficking. But it's like this. I got to be careful here, Jamie. I went to another town, this is 10 years ago, and I was offered, and I turned it down, obviously, you know, by guys who carried $100 rolls or bank, you know, probably about $5,000 to $7,000, a comfort sister. You know what a comfort sister is? And a man of God. In essence, it was religious prostitution in order to compromise the men of God. And I want to tell everybody, look, the mass graves on Epstein Island, they're there for a reason. And
Steve, let me back up because I wanted to mention this about the foundations of America, not just the mass graves of children at Epstein Island. It was the mass graves of children in Benjamin Franklin's floorboards. This is the depth of the haunt and hideout of every foul and unclean spirit. This is not a new thing. This is Mystery Babylon. This is what we're talking about. This is from the onset onward. I live in the Four Corners area. I look out my office window. I'm in Minnesota right now. I was about ready to do it. But like, I look out my office window and I'm looking at Mesa Verde National Park, where the Anasazi Indians were building the cliff sides because they're being cannibalized by the giants in the land. All you got to do is go read Steve's research and a lot of other great research out there telling you that this is the origins and the historicity of Amaruca, America. And so it's not Epstein Island is the revelation by God, by the hand of God, through men of God, so that you can test and approve the just judgment that comes next. The Chinese, the Russians, the destruction, the wholesale slaughter, our men being like women, hello, on the day of battle, the trumpet being sounded and nobody comes out to battle, hiding themselves in the barracks. They will all be like, your fighting men will be like women on that day. I mean, the Lord has said unequivocally what comes next for this nation. It is time for the listeners to get serious about their personal repentance and the purification of their camps, and to remove the sin of Achan, Joshua 7, from their camps. Because God has said, you cannot stand against your enemies until you purify your camp. You have made liable for destruction on the field of battle because of the hidden things you have inside your tent. Purify your camp, gents and ladies, now, because the judgment of God is coming. And then in the mercy and the covering and the fullness of white raiments and no stain, no spot, no blemish, no condemnation, no shame, arise and shine in the identity of Christ in you and over you alone, and march out and honor courage and commitment and faithfully discharge the duties to which you have been given in Christ Jesus. That's what we're talking about.
Gentlemen, about 5 to 7 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, and you know, 5 to 7. Now, you said minutes and not hours, right?
I'll tell you what. At this rate, we could do six days of this. You've only scratched the surface. But, yeah, we have about 6 minutes left. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll take a minute or two and turn it over to Jamie for the last word. Ladies and gentlemen, the salt has lost its savor. The light that was placed on a hill has gone out, but there's a flicker. but God will raise up and release. I believe, Jamie, that people are being convicted. I believe that the most powerful word in the universe for human beings is repentance, followed by profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing, nothing will satisfy the human soul, the human condition of, and I'm talking humans now, I'm not talking demons and I'm not talking fallen angels, more so than that powerful word of repentance. That's why we've got a perverse, an absolute insane country, is because there is no repentance. You can have all the whoop-de-doo on stage. And I said this the other day, I think it was on my own program. I had this vision of this guy in skinny jeans walking across the stage, and he looked like a chicken. I don't know if he's trying to break dance. But, and seriously, and the rooster crowed three times. Well, what I saw that stage, you know, the pulpit, et cetera, was a, I guess, a visual that God wanted me to see, because it was the betrayal of all that they were placed into. So, Jamie, now we've got 4 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. Take it, close it out. You don't need to give it back to me.
Yeah, it's one of those things, Steve, where we have a systematic forfeiture of everything, of our rightful calling and election as warrior priest, biblically. It's even something I was just up here in Minnesota speaking to, is a forfeiture began in the garden with Adam, right? It's this forfeiture. And then you look at the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, and blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you. And when you look at the American Christianity paradigm, we have systematically forfeited every single one of those blessings. We have completely systematically from the masterful puppeteers in the pulpits, the emotionally predatory puppeteers in the pulpits, reduced everything about the fear of the Lord. Go do a word study, listeners, on every single aspect of the fear of the Lord, every verse regarding the fear of the Lord. I have a running list that sits on my desk all the time that I'm constantly reading through, that what the fear of the Lord breeds, what a lack of the fear of the Lord requires upon you, right? And so they have systematically removed the fear of the Lord and forfeited all these blessings in the land, our children being mighty in the land, having no fear of bad news, our hearts being steadfast, trusting the Lord, our hearts being secure, having no fear, right? The fact that though an army and though a troop advance against me, still I will not fear, because all my fear is reserved for the Lord and Lord alone, right? And that he reveals the mysteries of his covenant, the depth of his covenant. He confides in those who fear him, and he reveals the mysteries of the covenant. Now we have a mile wide, inch deep gospel. What God says is that I want an inch wide, mile deep gospel. I want to reveal to you the depths and the wonders and the mysteries of this amazing thing, the mysteries of the cosmos now made known to you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hello, is anybody paying attention, right? And he goes on and on and on and on again. Even men taking up their godly rightful role as a warrior priest of their household, knowing and understand that their children are like arrows in their hand, and they are to train them up for the appointed time and then loose them to strike a blow against the enemy in their generation. Like, do we not understand what is going on here and what's at stake? And so when we look at this totality of the degradation in the nuances of mission, Rabbi, by the way, we didn't even scratch the surface, because I get all menopausal, Steve. I get all hot and bothered, and then I forget what I was even talking about, start having hot flashes while I'm on the air with you. But we didn't even get into the real nuances, even geopolitically, strategically, like what's going on with Yemen and the Houthis and Iran and Pakistan right now, and what's happening in Kashmir, and the fact that China or Iran and India just made a thing against China and Pakistan, and Pakistan and India just popped off overnight, and Brazil is declaring war, and Ghana and Argentina and Venezuela have all these dude, there's so much going on right now that you can't even wrap your minds around it fully, because of the normalcy bias and Cloward and Piven strategy, where literally our senses just get overwhelmed because of the amount of metadata, and we don't understand the depths of what comes next. And what comes next, biblically, I don't know the time. You know, Steve doesn't know the time. I don't know the time. I know that it is inevitable, and I know now we are at a point of imminency. Inevitability and imminency are two separate concepts, but the two are converging right now. I don't know the day or the hour. I know that I have a friend who operated in the intelligence agency, three-level CIA, right? Like, and then had dinner a year ago with the heads of Cargill, and was specifically told by a wife that had had too much alcohol, that we have a year and a half before we allow the Chinese to come in and take over all of our operations. She went for the entire nation, the United States of America. That was a year and a half ago. If anybody knows who Cargill is, you would know that that is no small matter. That is no small primary source information to receive if you know and understand who that corporation is. And so the reality is to come back into that place of knowing of the and self right self-evaluation where you can say, oh God, my eyes have heard, now my eyes have seen, I repent in dust and ashes. Oh God, forgive me where I have darkened your counsel with words without wisdom. You are God and God alone. Lord, I repent. Take my whole life. I want to be hidden in you. I understand what your just judgment requires, God. I am entrusted to you to have your will in this nation and over your people. But Lord, take my whole life. I hide it in you, Jesus.
The most powerful episode this year. Thank you. Thank Amen. You, both of you. Thank you. Jamie Thank Walden, OmegaDynamics.org, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. God bless both of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Jamie.